Thank you for joining us for this lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ is located at 1303 Evangel Drive, Huntsville, Alabama, 35816. And can be reached by phone at 256-837-8730. Worship is held every Sunday morning at 9, with Bible study following at 10:15. Evening services begin at 5 on Sunday evenings. Wednesday Bible study is held at 7 o'clock. Now we hope you enjoy this lesson from God's Word, brought to us by Paul Owen.
Please take your Bibles this morning and turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to be talking about husbands today. I need to tell you that today is Tommy and Anita Hughes' 58th wedding anniversary. Isn't that great? Today we'll be talking about husbands. I took Jacob and Caleb yesterday to their baseball tryouts. And I was standing by the fence and there were some little boys waiting to try out there. And they were 5 and 6 year olds. And one little boy looked at the other and he said, are you my husband? And the little boy looked down kind of bewildered and he said, no. And so that, when I heard that, that kind of solidified for me the belief that there's a lot of confusion today about husbands. So today we're going to get some direct instruction from the Word of God about being husbands. So if you would read with me, we're going to look at Ephesians 5, verse 25 through verse 30 today. The Apostle Paul writes, as he is inspired by the Holy Spirit, he says, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present her to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So, husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hates his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of the flesh, and of his bones. Someone has written about how marriage goes from blessing and bliss to the ordinary and the humdrum. It's called 7 years of a cold. And it gives her husband's response to her cold each of the 7 years. And it goes like this. First year. Sugar dumpling, I worry about my baby girl. You have a bad sniffle and there's no telling about these things with all this drip going around. I'm putting you in a hospital this afternoon for a general checkup and good rest. I know that the food is lousy, so I'll bring you food from Rosini's. I've already arranged it with the floor superintendent. Year number two. Listen, darling, don't like the sound of that cough. I've called Doc Miller to rush over here. Now you go to bed like a good girl for Papa. Year three. You better lie down, honey. Nothing like a little rest when you feel punk. I'll bring you something to eat. Got any soup? Year four. Look, dear, be sensible. After you feed the kids and get the dishes washed, you'd better hit the sack. Year five. Why don't you get yourself a couple of aspirin? Year six. If you would gargle or something instead of sitting around here barking like a seal. Year seven. For Pete's sake, stop sneezing. What are you trying to do? Give me pneumonia? And I think the reason that's a little humorous to us is because there is truth in that. That is a good illustration to us that marriages do not maintain themselves. But they take quality effort from the people in that particular relationship. When it comes to having good marriages and being good husbands, the Bible has some very interesting things to say, doesn't it? passages like Colossians chapter 3, Ephesians chapter 5, 1 Peter chapter 3. Quickly, I want to give you the three major responsibilities of a husband from the Word of God. First of all, we know that a husband is to be a learner. He's to be a learner. Because 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 says, "Husbands, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife." So did you see what it said? Peter says, look, that we are to live with our wives according to understanding. Make an effort to understand them. Go to school on them. Learn them. Be a student of her. So that you can live with her according to knowledge. Every husband is supposed to be a learner. But secondly, every husband also should be a leader. A leader. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23 says this. It says, "The husband is the head of the wife, just as Christ is also the head of the church." So the Apostle Paul says that the husband is the head of the wife. He's the leader in the home. And let me tell you, the issue with most couples that I know is not the unwillingness of the wife to follow, but it's the unwillingness of the husband to lead. Most wives will lead if their husbands will follow, if their husband will just take the lead and lead in a gracious and godly way. So a husband is also should be a leader. Isn't that right? But thirdly, every husband should be a... And look at this one. This is a very important one. Every husband should be a lover. In Ephesians 5:25 it says, "Husband, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for her." And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Husbands, love your wives. Did you notice that this message is given to men? Husbands, love your wives. And I think that's interesting that men, we are to be the initiators of love in the relationship. It is our responsibility to love our wives. And that's not an optional thing. It doesn't say, you know, love your wives if she's lovable. Love your wives if you're in a romantic mood. It says love your wife, period. I've had more than one man sit in my office and look at me and say, "You know what? I don't love my wife anymore." Oh? So you've decided that you're going to be disobedient to God? You just decided that you're not going to love God anymore? So that's kind of hard to handle, isn't it? You know, you can't command your feelings. Yes, but you can command your actions. And if you command your actions, your feelings will follow. You do that every day when you get up and go to work. I've got an exercise machine upstairs, and I go to that 3 or 4 times a week. And I guarantee you, when I get on it, I don't want to be on it. I'd rather be on the couch or doing something else. My body is tired. Sometimes it's 10 o'clock at night. But you know what? 10 minutes into the workout, 15 minutes into the workout, I begin to feel, you know, I feel pretty good. And after I get through, I feel great. I'm so glad that I worked out. I commanded the action and the feeling followed. And that is the same case with loving. Love is a commitment, not always a feeling. But he says, husbands, love your wives. And the Bible says that we are to love them in a special way. You say, well, how do we love them? Well, we are giving 4 characteristics today in our text as to how we are to love them. Now, today I don't want to manipulate anybody to guilt. I want to encourage your heart. Because you know what? God has the best plan going for the family. God created the family. He organized the family. Who better to understand how the family is to be run than God Himself? And if we will just take the principles in the Word of God and put them into our marriages, we will have long and lasting marriages. Number one, husbands are to love their wives authentically. They are to love their wives authentically. Ephesians 5:25 says, it says this, it says, the Lord loves the church. Christ loved the church. Stop right there. Who's the church? Well, it's those who obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Acts 2:47. The Lord puts us in His church. We are the church. You are the church. I'm the church. And you know what? The Lord loved me when I was unlovable. The Lord loved us. What does Romans 5:6 say? He died for the ungodly, verse 6. He died while we were still sinners, verse 8. While we were enemies, verse 10. Christ loved Paul Owen, knowing every mistake and every sin that he would ever commit. He loved me anyway. Isn't that great? Listen, if you do not know how to love with authenticity, loving a person for who and what they are, you will set yourself up for disappointment and you will set yourself up for discouragement. Because here we have two people, they enter into a relationship and they have one thing in common. One big thing. They are both humans and they are both subject to making mistakes. And we need to realize that. What a tragedy it is when people set up this high ideal, this high expectation that their marriage is going to be perfect, and secondly, their marriage is going to meet all of their deep needs in life. Marriage is not designed to do that. Only Christ is designed to do that. And so all of a sudden, the person is going along in their marriage, and all of a sudden, they hit some stress, they hit some bumps in the road, and they go, oh no! What's happened? What am I supposed to do? So what happens when we have too high of expectations? So I take Caleb yesterday. We go to the tryouts. It's just the tryouts. And then they hit the ball off the tee 2 or 3 times, and they field one ball, and then they throw it to first base, and it was over. And we're leaving. And Caleb's kind of, you know, his shoulders are kind of drooped down. And he said, Dad, he said, I'm sad. I said, what's wrong? He said, I didn't even get a trophy. I hadn't even been to practice yet. But there was an expectation that he was going to get something great, and it didn't happen. And so the distance and high expectation in reality, what's in between there, that's called disappointment. We ought not to have unrealistic expectations. Someone has written, now they wrote this to the extreme about expectation. What a man expects and what he gets. This is what he expects. That his wife will always be beautiful and cheerful. Could have married movie stars, but wanted only you. Hair that never needs curlers or beauty shops or beauty that won't run in rainstorms. Never sick, just allergic to jewelry and fur coats. Insists that moving the furniture is good for her figure. Expert in cooking and cleaning the house, fixing the car, the TV, painting the house, and keeping quiet. Favorite hobbies? Mowing the lawn and taking out the trash. Her favorite expression? What can I do for you, dear? Thinks that you have Einstein's brains but look like Mr. America. Wish that you could go out with a boy so that she could get some sewing done, and loves you because you are so good looking. That's what he expects, the writer says. This is what he gets. She speaks 140 words a minute, but gusts up to 180. She's a light eater. As soon as it gets light, she starts eating. Where there's smoke, there she is cooking. Lets you know that you only have two faults: everything you say and everything you do. Now that was written, but the point there is that we can set up some expectations that are unrealistic. And so what happens is that brings tremendous disappointment and then eventually discouragement within the marriage. Look, you know, there's great times in marriage and there's hard times in marriage. There are times in marriage where there is wonderful agreement, and there's in times in marriage where you really have to work things through. But when you don't love authentically, knowing that you are married and you're in a relationship with a person who is a human being, who is fallible, you'll be discouraged. But what we learn is this, that we men are to love our wives as Christ loves the church. Christ, knowing all that the church would be, He loves us anyway. Secondly, we are to love our wives sacrificially. So what does the Scripture say? Husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And this is the part I want to focus in on this point. And gave Himself for her. How costly is love? How costly is it? We'll read this in 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. This is how we know what love is, that He laid down His life for us. Do you know what it means to be sacrificial in your love with your spouse? I guess all of us, when we get married, have this idea that marriage is a 50-50 proposition and it adds up to 100. She'll give her 50%, I'll give my 50%, it adds up to the 100, and that's the way it's going to be. But you know, it doesn't work that way. It takes 110% from me, it takes 110% from Tammy just to make the marriage meaningful. Marriage requires sacrifice. It doesn't cost a lot to get married, but it costs a great deal to be married in terms of what it requires of you, of a person. Well, it's no accident that Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 32 and 33 to the singles, and he said, look, if a man does not have a family, doesn't have a wife, he can center his attention on the things of God. He said, but if a man does have a wife and does have a family, then he has to divide his attention. And so, man, when you enter a relationship, it is no longer what I want, where I want to go, but it is what is the Lord's will for us. So many times when you see a dysfunctional family, it's because you have two people who have entered a relationship who should be self-giving, but the relationship ends up being self-seeking, and they hold out for their own interest. A lot of people say, you know what, I'm willing to give in marriage, but the only thing they're not willing to give is in. Husbands, love your wives. Sacrifice for them. Spend yourself on them. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us, and we should love our wives in that same way. Number three, husband, love your wives deliberately. Deliberately. You say, well, Paul, what in the world does that mean? Well, I want you to take your Bibles and look in verse 27. We read this just a moment ago. That He might present her to Himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy, without blemish. Why did Christ love the church? Did you listen to what Paul said? He said His purpose in loving the church, that He might present to Himself a church that is glorious, spotless, blameless, without wrinkle, holy, so that she can be all that she should be. There are still some men that want to hold their wives back. They will do everything that they possibly can to keep their wives from being all that they should be, for fulfilling all the potential that God wants them to be. And a lot of times, what I notice, this control, this holding back, is born out of insecurity of their own person. And so it's fear-driven. But that is opposite of what God tells us to do. God doesn't want us to be that way. Husbands, you know what you should be in the relationship? You should be the individual who is interested in your wife's personal growth. You should be the person in the relationship who is interested in her spiritual growth. I should do everything in my power to make sure that she is all that she can be. I attempt to encourage her to be everything that God wants her to be. Am I holding my wife back to being God's person? That's a hard one, but that's one we need to answer. And then lastly, this morning, I am to love my wife unconditionally. Unconditionally. Look in verse 28. So husbands ought to love their wives as they are, as their own bodies. He who loves himself loves his wife, loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. You say, Paul, what does it mean to love your wife as your own body? Well, if you look there in verse 31, it says, when a man leaves his father and mother, he's joined to his wife and they become one flesh. Genesis chapter 2, verse 4, Matthew chapter 19, verse 5. That's what it says. And so, if you love your own body, you take care of it. And you do nothing to make that would hurt it. I mean, if it does hurt, you want to give attention to it. If you have some physical problem with your body, you want to make sure that it has immediate attention, right? So Paul is saying, look, just as you love your own body, you should have the same attitude towards your wife. And he uses two words that we cannot escape. Two words that describe how we take care of our bodies. First of all, he says, look, a man does not hate his own body, but he nourishes it and cherishes it. Did you catch that? Nourish your body. That simply means that you feed it, you clothe it, you make sure it has what it needs to survive. And when a husband nourishes his wife, that means he takes care of her. He provides for her. Now, I don't know if it's the way in your family, but my family, sometimes we'll have several people at once coming and needing money and needing things, you know. And, you know, what do you think I'm made of money? Money doesn't grow on trees. But let me tell you something. One of the greatest joys of my life as a father and as a husband is to be able to provide for my family. I don't know if there's a better feeling in the whole world. Children need shoes, go to the store, buy them shoes. It's a great feeling to be a provider. We are to nourish our wives, provide for them, provide for their needs. And the second word that he uses there is cherishes. That's a word that means to be tender, the way that a mother treats the newborn baby. Tenderness. I don't know, but in this culture of ours, in this macho society, a man expressing tenderness is almost out of our vocabulary. I mean, for a man to express emotion is a weakness. It is to violate somehow our manhood. But you know what? The Lord Himself showed emotion and tenderness. And I want to close this morning with a letter of a father written to his son during World War II. I wish I had the power to write the thoughts wedged in my heart tonight as I sit watching that small star, wondering where and how you are. You know, son, it's a funny thing how close a war can really bring a father who for years with pride has kept his emotion deep inside. I'm sorry, son, when you were small, I let reserve build up that wall. I told you real men never cried, and it was Mom who always dried your tears and smoothed your hurts away so that you soon went back to play. But son, deep down within my heart, I longed to have some little part in drying that small, tear-stained face. But we were men, and men don't embrace. And suddenly I found my son, a full-grown man with childhood done. Tonight you are far across the sea, finding a way for men like me. Well, somehow pride and what is right have changed places here tonight, and I find my eyes won't stay quite dry. And that men sometimes really do cry. And if we stood here face to face, I'm sure, my son, that we would embrace. We are to show our wives tenderness. These surveys that you come across sometimes, what wives wish husbands do about women, that's always in the top 3 to 5 things. how they wish their husbands knew about tenderness and would show tenderness. Let us be the kinds of husbands that God wants us to be and our wives need us to be. How are we to love our wives? We are to love our wives authentically, sacrificially, deliberately, and unconditionally. Thank you so much for the way that you have listened today. At this time, we want to extend the Lord's invitation to those who might have a need. If it is today that you're not a Christian, will you do exactly what some of our young people have done a few days ago, and that is make the great confession that they believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Will you do that before this audience today? To be buried in baptism for the remission of your sins? To rise a new creature with a new inheritance, with a new family? If it is today that you are a Christian, but there's some things that you need to change, you know that some things just aren't right between you and God, and you know that God knows that, I encourage you today to make that right while you still have today. Please do it right now as we stand and as we sing.
We hope you've enjoyed this lesson from God's Word, brought to you by the West Huntsville Church of Christ. If you would like to continue your study of God's Word with a Bible correspondence course, please contact the church office at area code 256-837-8730.